There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
The information depicted in this podcast is purely for informational purposes only. Please consult your healthcare professional before making any changes to your lifestyle or routine.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Boost Your Biology podcast. My name is Lucas, and I am the founder of Ergogenic Health. Together in this podcast series, we will go underground to explore cutting-edge health and human performance insights that you simply cannot search on Google to help you upgrade your existence. So, without any further ado, let's jump into today's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of the Boost Your Biology podcast. Today, I'm joined in with Luke from Alchemic Health. He's actually a fellow Melburnian, so it's great to connect with someone else fairly local. So, Luke, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you, man. Great to be here, and thanks for the invite.
Awesome. So, do you want to sort of give my audience a bit of a backdrop into, I guess, your story into where you got to and where you are today?
Sure. So I had a really good upbringing, really good life. I was a competitive swimmer until I was 17. So I represented Australia for 200 breaststroke for the World School Games. Sport was a really big, important factor in my life at the start. But when I gave that up, I left high school. Didn't have much of a direction from there because I lost my identity swimming. So I started working in the nightclub industry in Sydney. And as you can imagine, in the nightclub industry, you're exposed to a lot of partying, drugs, alcohol, that kind of stuff. And I fell into a bit of a drug addiction at this time. And I got to the age of 23 and I kind of didn't know where I was going in life. And I really decided to change my life from that day on, from that age onwards. And I started working for a company that resold Google products. And as I was working as a technician for this company, I started researching a lot. I found that if I've harmed myself in any way with lifestyle factors and substances, then there has to be another form of lifestyle factors and substances that takes me the other way, because we live in a universe of duality. So I found a passion for the mind and the body and researching how to heal myself if I have done any damage. So for years, probably 3 years, I went down this rabbit hole of questions and answers, constantly asking myself a question and then seeking that answer through PubMed articles, primary data, things like that. Until about a good 3-4 years of research, daily research, I'd sit there at night for hours on end with the TV just slightly on as like a kind of a wallpaper while I sit there and research. And build up this knowledge until I got to the stage where I really researched everything that excited me. And I felt I need, if people wanted to take me serious, I need to obviously get a degree and show that people that I have some accreditation. I was thinking about going to medicine, different areas, but unfortunately I find with medicine, it can be a bit narrow-minded with their view of how they look at things, how reductionistic things can be in the medicine industry. So I decided to go with naturopathy because it's quite a broad spectrum of therapies and modalities you can work within. I liked the aspect of the healing power of nature and the innate healing power of the body. Mm. Instead of masking a symptom, I liked the notion of addressing the root cause of it and seeing how you can heal the body or support the body in that nature. So I spent 5 years completing my Bachelor of Health Science degree in naturopathy, which I finished over a year ago. But in that time frame, still researching and also experimenting. So I'm a big believer that we can all read from books and science, but until we really take that information and apply it to ourselves, what is truth and what is truth for us? So everyone's different. Everyone has their own makeup. I believe that, you know, we have a fundamental core truth that we all resonate with, but it's finding what works for you. And with my experimentation, I can see what does work, what combination of herbs with supplements, with nootropics work together and provide the best therapeutic effect for myself and the client. So I've used a lot of these things on myself and family and friends with really good results. So, yeah, that's my story, and that's how I've come to be where I am.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I mean, a lot of what you mentioned there, I can definitely relate to you in the fact that, you know, it's one thing to sort of read studies and then research articles and things like that, but it's another thing to dive deep and experiment and then see how it affects you personally. You know, many times over, like, I've read one paper on a particular nootropic, tried it out, and it's had the complete opposite effect.
Yeah,
that self-experimentation aspect is definitely something that I think over the years, you know, you become more empowered. When you dive deep and you experiment, you become more sort of empowered. So
it's exciting too. It's exciting to see the results, you know. So, yeah.
It is. So do you want to sort of tell us more about, we'll get stuck into nootropics because obviously, you know, I like to post a lot of information about it, and you're also like the admin of a fairly big Facebook group as well. So do you want to sort of, give my listeners a bit of a background into like what nootropics are and some of the key ones that you've used?
Okay. So nootropics are basically brain-enhancing supplements, herbs or chemicals. We use these to facilitate certain mechanisms within the brain, be it, increasing cognitive function, focused attention, memory, even growing aspects of the brain. And that's what I like to concentrate on, for the fact that we can all take some drugs like modafinil. It's a really popular one. It's primarily used for narcolepsy, so sleep disorder, but people use it as a nootropic because it doesn't have the physical stimulation, but it has the mental stimulation and keeps you awake. Things like that I don't like to really go into because they're just stimulants at the end of the day to some degree. You might find neurological benefits at the start, but I'm a big believer that these things will cause a receptor downregulation somewhere in the brain and this tolerance will build up, and that could bring your baseline cognitive function down. Mm-hmm. So my aspects of viewing nootropics and how I like to go about it is facilitating the growth of the brain, be it neurogenesis, synaptogenesis, and increasing the overall health and functionality of the brain. For the fact that, what they're saying now is a lot about ailments like anxiety, depression, PTSD, things like that come down to there is a kind of circumstantial aspect. So someone might have some issues they haven't dealt with, but they also come down to, neurodegeneration. A lot of soldiers coming back from war found that the stress from war, also obviously what they witnessed caused substantial neurodegeneration in the hippocampus, which caused them to have neurological issues, mood disturbances, things like that. So my idea of nootropics is, as I said, is growing the brain. I like to focus on, you know, the combination of herbs with nutrients. With there are some chemicals I like to put in there as well, but it's I like peptide therapy. I'm a big believer in peptide therapies, and unfortunately, it's a big thing in Russia, but we don't see it much in the West. Some of the herbs I like to focus on is, like, say, Bacopa monnieri. Some people might know it as Brahmi. Really good for building the memory. It helps facilitate synaptogenesis in the hippocampus, helps regulate serotonin receptors, also is a slight acetylcholine esterase inhibitor, so it helps keep acetylcholine abundant in the hippocampus, which is obviously, as we know, the main neurotransmitter for thoughts, memory, and things like muscle contraction. I like things like ashwagandha, for the sole purpose of the main constituent with methanolide A. We found that in studies it helps build synapses again, so it helps with synaptogenesis and restructuring the brain, as well as its benefits in increasing the immune system. It helps thyroid health, also hormonal health. So it has an array of benefits you'd like to take for as well. Mm. Other things I like is, you've probably heard of the Mr. Happy Stack or Uridine formula. I'm a big believer in that because I'm a big believer in Uridine, a choline source, and DHA. Using these components synergistically to increase your the repair and maintenance system of the brain. It increases dopamine receptors, so it will help your motivation, the way you feel. It helps build memory. Again, I believe that the more synapses we make, obviously the better our brain thoughts and memory is, but or also our emotional state. They believe that memories are stored in synapses. There's still a bit of, you know, there's a lot of science that needs to go into that, but they say it's within the synapse somewhere that we store it. These typical racemes that, like, you hear about, there's an array of them that people go into. I've used them all, but my favorites are phasoracetam and phenylparacetam. Mm. I like phasoracetam for the fact of it's being studied now for an ADD, ADHD drug. So I have these tendencies. I've been tested myself when I was younger, but I don't have it. But I find it's really good for keeping that clear mental focus, really good as an anti-anxiety. It helps upregulate certain GABA receptors. I definitely like that one. I've used coloracetam before, but unfortunately, coloracetam, it can be a hit and miss at times. It can, you know, sometimes you'll have a clear head on it. Other times I will get tired on it. So I don't generally use that much. But it's really good for building the memory and restoring the choline recycling system within the brain, where people have generally we all get this part of the system becomes slack. So anyone can benefit from coloracetam in that regard. But as I said, it's a bit temperamental. Phenylparacetam is really good. It's the one I use if I need a bit of stimulation. Personally, I don't drink coffee. I find coffee, it just increases my stress response. I get really agitated from it. Because coffee at the end of the day is inhibiting us from relaxing. It's not essentially giving a stimulation. It's attaching to adenosine receptors and just inhibiting you from relaxing, like I said. So I stick away from coffee, but phenylparacetam is my go-to for, like, a coffee substitute because it has a stimulating effect but not physical stimulation, really good mental clarity, and you just want to get things done. It makes things more enjoyable in terms of, mediocre tasks that you have to get done. Mm. And then, you know, there's other components that come into it, like 7-8-DHF. Which is a flavonoid extracted from a plant that it attaches to your TRKB receptors, and they increase the facilitation of synaptogenesis. So that, along with, stacked with the Uridine stack, is really good. I like those in the combination. Other things we can go into, these are things that I generally work with. I've worked with 9-MBC. You know, it's an interesting compound. It obviously increases, you know, the facilitation of dopamine in the brain, helps restore dopamine neurons and receptors. So they've looked into it for a Parkinson's drug, or they are right now. It really goes, like, it increases libido. It's really interesting like that. It works well with the uridine stat because, again, it's working on the dopamine receptors. So I've been experimenting a lot with that lately. And then the other things I go into is the peptide therapies. And this is, I love peptides. It's one of the things that, it just excites me how these things work. It's really working with the body, I feel, in terms of you got chemicals that you use for nootropics, and the body has to metabolize these through the liver, general process. But, peptides kind of work differently and get metabolized differently because they're amino acid sequences, and they provide a more natural approach in the brain, in my view. So things like NuPEPT is a slight kind of peptide, but I've used that in the past. NuPEPT's good. It's a good way to start. But unfortunately, the thing with NuPEPT is, and some people get this as well, is the lack that you get of short-term memory at the start. It helps with the memory overall, but at the start you'll find this long-term memory is good, but short-term memory goes. And they say it's because of how it's actually decreases certain growth factors in the brain temporarily, and then it gets upregulated later on. And then when you get these disruptions, you'll get this change in your short-term memory. I found that, but then it went away way later on. But unfortunately, NuPEPT makes me too much of a robot. I don't like being too, I don't like getting rid of my emotions too much. It can feel a bit weird. So, yeah, NuPEPT I don't really go with anymore, but I do go into things like Cerebralism, which is a neuropeptide cocktail extracted from pig's brains. Also Cortexin, which is also another neuropeptide complex from calves' brains. I've actually got some in the fridge ready to go. I've only done one cycle before and found really good results. Initially, yeah, obviously you get the cognitive benefit. But hindsight, looking back on it, my cognitive system in my brain would increase. I look back and I'm like, hang on a second, my memory got better. I was more motivated. I felt more productive. There's these things that come along with it because you're increasing the growth of these neurons. So, yeah, they're ones I really like and I have a lot of faith in because there's a lot of history with them. They've been, like, Cerebralism's been around since the 1970s. And a lot of people, even some US presidents, have used it to increase their cognition. So, yeah, they're really interesting ones. Then I go into things like Dihexa. I've tried that, but I personally haven't seen much of a result from it. It might be hard to see the results straight away, but I didn't use it too much because it's still quite a new substance. And it has like a week half-life, if not longer, if my memory is correct. So it's something that I played around with a bit but didn't find any benefits. So I put it aside and I might use it in the future, but we'll see. And then, you know, just NSI 189 as well. I've used that quite a few times. Really interesting compound as well. Studies show in rats it increases the growth of the hippocampus 20% above baseline. In humans, we haven't seen anything like that just yet. They've mainly looked at the NSI 189 for depression mainly, but I haven't used that for that purpose. It's more obviously increasing the neurogenesis and functionality of the hippocampus. The interesting things I've found with it, though, is the emotional intelligence it brings along. So obviously with the hippocampus, it helps with mood, but also short-term, long-term memory. I find with NSI 189, it helps with the depersonalization. So if you find that you're missing parts of yourself or you don't feel yourself a lot of the time, it will help bring back aspects of those feelings. It helps with there is cognitive benefits in terms of memory, but it's more the emotional, like for me, it's, you know, it's the cognitive benefit of the memory, but I feel it's the emotional aspect of it you get. I find it really interesting. So you come to a say you have an episode and where you'd usually get triggered by anger, right? I find NSI 189 allows you to address the situation where you'd usually get triggered into anger really easily. You kind of go, hang on a second. In this split second, you'll have this kind of, like, oh, which way can I take this instead of the usual way? And it's really interesting like that. So, it's a compound that I'll continue working with, but do not mix it with racemes, because it will play with you and cause hyper-emotionality, which can be very disruptive. So I've mixed it once before and I won't do that again. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Awesome, man. Yeah. Well, obviously, we just covered a huge spread of a lot of experimental compounds, and a lot of my listeners will be probably unfamiliar with majority of those ones. They're probably familiar with like the Bacopa, Rhodiola, things like that. Even when you sort of mentioned the phenylparacetam, I personally have not used it yet. But for those listening in, if you play competitive sports, like professional sport, just keep an eye out, because that one there is banned by WADA.
Yeah, it's really good though. I admit, when I go for long, I love cycling at the moment. It's the only thing it's any enjoyment I have during lockdown here in Melbourne.
Yeah.
But I've noticed with phenylparacetam, it definitely helps you push past certain pain barriers and allows you, when your muscles get tired, you're like, no, and they'll keep on going. It's really interesting how it increases your sports performance like that. So yeah, yeah, but unfortunately it's banned. So yeah.
So maybe let's sort of go and let's sort of explore more on neurotransmitters, because I'd like to, see what your thoughts are on various neurotransmitters. I know you spoke about dopamine a lot and the Mr. Happy Stack, which definitely has contributed to my productivity today. I fell in love with that many, many years ago and just responded so well. Felt like a workhorse, really focused, really productive, and that definitely, was a game changer for me. So let's sort of explore more on various neurotransmitters. So do you want to sort of cover, starting like with maybe dopamine, go work your way through the ones that you've researched?
Yeah, so with dopamine, obviously it helps motivation, but unfortunately with dopamine, it's related to our reward system. So unfortunately, this is primarily where a lot of addictions fall into. So anytime we increase dopamine receptors, you're going to get the motivation, but you can have a tendency to be dopamine fixated. So you can always have this notion of looking for the dopamine fix. And I've fallen into that too myself. But it is really good for libido, things like that. Mm. Dopamine can be obviously both, excitatory and inhibiting. I'm dopamine driven, as most males are, being testosterone driven as the hormone, but testosterone also has a link to dopamine production, where in females, estrogen is linked to serotonin production. So that's why when females have their menstrual cycle, their mood goes off because of the fluctuation in estrogen. But like I said, dopamine, we all love it. And it's one thing what you all need to keep on going, keep motivated in life. The other neurotransmitter I've focused on a lot lately is glutamate. Glutamate encompasses 70% of our brain's excitatory neurotransmitters, in the mammal brain, that is. I specialize in drug rehabilitation, drug education for a lot of people. Now, when people fall into addictions, we generally think it's a dopamine thing because we're trying to chase that dopamine high. But it really comes down to what the studies are showing, is that it comes down to the glutamate dysregulation. So generally when we're having a substance for that dopamine fix, it will then have it's attaching to the dopamine receptor, but it's actually causing the glutamate system to become more active. Now, when the glutamate system becomes dysregulated, what they're saying is that generally for like addictions and stuff, that seeking the addiction essentially. Well, at the start it might be, but once it becomes a chemical addiction, it's generally not you in that sense, because your brain will give you ideas during the day, different things to think about. And when your glutamate system is dysfunctional, you're going to get your addiction thrown out of you all the time, because it's out of function. So you know, say you're addicted to coffee, right? And you wake up one day and you don't want to have coffee, but your brain's going, coffee, I need coffee, I feel like coffee. And you're like, oh, I don't want to do it. But then you get to the point where you're just thinking about it so much, you give into it. And this is where a lot of the chemical addiction comes into play. Now, glutamate, if we regulate it, will help stabilize mood, but also lower that little voice within you. And that's shown to have the glutamate dysregulation generally in the prefrontal cortex, because it's where we make all our decisions. So things like N-acetylcysteine is really good for regulating the system. It's what I give a lot of people that are suffering from addiction or want to stabilize impulsiveness. They kind of go hand in hand. Because it clears out excessive glutamate from certain aspects, areas of the brain. So it's an interesting thing. I think a lot of people don't focus on this neurotransmitter when we all focus on the typical like dopamine, serotonin, and so forth. But then we come down to like serotonin, and you know, serotonin's a really good one, but I think we give it too much emphasis on mood regulation. I think because the science has gone, oh, you know, serotonin has to do with anxiety, depression, and then we prescribe SSRIs. Personally, I was on them for 4 years. I've suffered from anxiety issues in the past, and you know, it's managed now through what I do, but it's not the culprit. I don't believe it has a part to do with it. Obviously, it's all neurotransmitters in the brain, there's not one culprit at all. They all work together to cause a certain aspect of your consciousness. So serotonin, you know, it's a funny one, because it can, if you have too much of it, it really throws you off. If you have too little of it, it throws you off again. So it's more of an inhibiting neurotransmitter. People think it's excitatory, because if you have MDMA, you're going to be great. It really doesn't work like that. The effects you're getting from MDMA primarily come from serotonin, but also the dopamine effects, and that's where the stimulation euphoria comes from. But yeah, they're the main neurotransmitters I'll work on. And then acetylcholine as well, for thoughts and memory and muscle contraction, like we talked about, really good for sports performance. You can really push past your threshold with some good choline and some racemes. Even if you don't want to have phenylparacetam for your sports performance, I found even really good benefits with caloracetam or phasoracetam. So even though if you want any sports performance, you can go for those and they're not banned. When you start increasing your acetylcholine system in the brain, obviously your thoughts become clearer. Your memory gets better. But unfortunately, with this neurotransmitter, when you start to play with it too much, you can actually decrease dopamine or serotonin in the brain. You'll get depression from it. It's quite severe at times if you go too hard. That's why you've got to really watch how much choline you have and how much you're working the choline system. If you find that you're getting really depressed, it's time to back off on it. So
With the acetylcholine, I can definitely relate there. Having too much of like the CDP choline or alpha GPC, and it doesn't take much for me like to trigger that sort of flat mood. Definitely. I think even for those that have or consume eggs as well, so consuming eggs, then they've got alpha GPC in the mix. They're like, oh, I might even throw in some CDP choline, and then they end up going overboard with the acetylcholine. And yeah, it's not a very pleasant feeling, that's for sure.
It isn't, and it takes away your emotions, and you think, and then because it stimulates your thoughts so much, you're thinking so much, but your emotions aren't there, and it can really spiral you into some weird places. We think that we're wanting, like, it's good to increase your cognitive function, but without the emotional intelligence, it's not a good thing, and you become a robot, and you can become not a nice person at times as well, because when you do these kind of things, you especially say NuPEPT and then a lot of choline, you become such a robot that, and your cognitive function is so high that you can sometimes, and I've noticed not just with myself, other people have said this, that you can get this tendency of I know better. Because my brain's thinking so good, and I'm thinking of all these different scenarios, and they almost like you can slide in this kind of bit of a cockiness because you think you know better, but it's not a good place to go.
Definitely, that's I can relate to that big time. Feeling that sense of like superiority and just like you know better because your brain is ticking over so much. But that emotional aspect is, something that I've been trying to hone in on because I've gone so far away from that. It's helped with the business and I'm sure it's helped you with your focus and your growth. Yeah. You know, you sort of get that trade off between staying as human versus staying as robot.
Yeah.
So
they both have their benefits. When you need to think, you know, it's really good for that, but it can make you really agitated too. And like you said, it can make people not like you for a little bit of a time where, you know, because you're such an aggro person or just heartless at that particular moment. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think the big takeaway for our listeners maybe is set and setting. So like if you're going to be going to the library all day and you have like to study for exams or whatever, then being in that robotic state is actually beneficial, right? Whereas if you've got a party that night, then you don't want to be in that sort of robotic state.
No, definitely not. But don't get me wrong, these nootropics. I don't drink alcohol either. But I've heard a lot of people love nootropics for the mental clarity that it gives you whilst you go out and get drunk and whatnot. So yeah,
I'm curious to hear more about your experiment with phasoracetam because that one piqued my interest for that. What did you use that for?
So phasoracetam, obviously, because I said I have kind of tendencies for ADD, ADHD kind of tendencies. But I am just, as I said, I got tested twice when I was young and I'm just hyperactive, they said. So phasoracetam, I started doing it for the mental clarity and the focus that it gives you. It upregulates the GABA receptors. I used it because I had been using some benzodiazepines in the past and I wanted to see if it would fix some of those cognitive issues that comes with the benzodiazepine usage. So it does work really well for that. In fact, I found that coupling with Bacopa, they both work to upregulate GABA receptors. So if anyone does have an issue with benzodiazepines or getting off it, these two work really well with that. With the phasoracetam, like I said, it's really good for focus without any other thoughts going on and one train of focus. But it gives you that really nice anti-anxiety effect. So I find I can concentrate on certain tasks for a longer period of time, whereas things like if I have just phenylpracetam by itself, I can do things, but I'm doing a few things at a time. Phasoracetam is my way to go if I just want to concentrate on the task at hand and have no other kind of disruptive thoughts or getting kind of sidetracked at times. So that's what I use it for. Yeah.
Mm. Did it? I'm curious to know. Did it have any sedative effects? Because I've heard some people report that, or not really.
At the start, so I think the sedative effects come with where your neuroreceptor count is at the time. So everyone's neurochemistry and neuroreceptor count is going to be different based on the substances that you take and the lifestyle that you live. So say someone that does have a benzodiazepine history or drinks alcohol, they're all going to downregulate your GABA receptors. I think when phasoracetam comes in, because it's working on that system, it can cause a sedative effect. I only found that maybe a little bit at the start, but I haven't taken any benzodiazepines for a year or two now, and I don't find that effect at all. So, and I don't use it that often. It's sporadically. I tend to take the racemes when I need it. I don't take it daily all the time. I have gone through periods where I've taken phasoracetam for a month straight to see the benefits. And I believe that there are benefits that come with the continual use as well. Yes, we can use it just periodically, but the continual use of these substances will cause because you're caught facilitating that kind of thought process in the brain, we all know the notion that neurons that fire together wire together. So the more we take the substance, I believe that will help facilitate neurons to function in that manner. So when you get to a stage on phase racetim, as well as most racetims, that you will become tolerant to it, that when you stop taking it, you will most likely find that those cognitive benefits will stay with you. Some people find that they find that they might go a bit below baseline. They might find, these things have actually, you've become tolerant, so your baseline goes down. But I've actually found that it the tolerance builds up, but my cognitive function stays there. Mm. So I'll need to take a break from it. And then when I notice that my cognitive function starts to decline, or I notice a few issues, I'll start taking it again and see how it goes. So, yeah. But no, I find there's sometimes more sedative effects from caloracetam. That's why I said it's a bit temperamental. But phasoracetam is definitely one that I started off and I wasn't too sure of it myself, but it's really good.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, let's sort of transition into, I guess, some of the mistakes that you see people making when they enter into experimenting with nootropics. Like, what are some things that people should be aware of?
Like we said, the overloading of the choline system is one major one. People think that more is better. Unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. And the poison is in the dosage. So if we go overboard, then obviously you're going to have those negative side effects. Things I need to be aware of is obviously it's the emotional aspect of these things. And if you go overboard with them, you can become detached from your emotional intelligence. We need to look into how things act and the combinations of things. So I do believe in the combination of like CDP choline with huperzine A, but the problem with it, but it's only temporarily or sporadically. I don't believe in it taking it every day. Things like, I hate to say it, but like Joe Rogan's supplement mix where it was called...
Alpha Brain,
that's it. Yeah. So it's a good cognitive booster, but it has both a choline source and a huperzine A in there. And for those people that don't know, so choline is going to increase your acetylcholine. Huperzine A is going to inhibit acetylcholine esterase, which stops, which breaks down the acetylcholine. So you're going to increase the production and decrease the breakdown of it, which increases the neurotransmitter. I'm a big believer if we keep on taking this over a long period of time, you're going to wear out that system a bit, cause receptor downregulation, and then there's a possibility your cognitive function could go below baseline. So I'm a big believer in cycling. Don't chuck everything in the kitchen sink at you and expect everything to work. I've done that in the past, and it's really hard to tell what's working, what's not. And you can then come into some, hang on a second, I'm not feeling too good here, and you can't really find out what's going on. So it's trying to find out mechanisms and find that synergistic nature of them. So say the uridine stack has that synergy within the uridine, choline and DHA, and then you couple that with some Bacopa and then maybe a racetim. So so you're getting the synaptogenesis, you're getting the health of the brain, but you can help facilitating those functions. But primarily that's what people need to look out for is the toxic nature of some of these substances, because it's about the dosage and what's right, but also not overloading the brain and disrupting certain neurotransmitter productions. For the fact that people can, like I said, choline, you can take a lot of it and it'll drop dopamine, serotonin, your mood will be off. But even people go for heaps of tyrosine to increase dopamine, or people go with tryptophan or 5-HTP to increase serotonin. They're constantly taking these precursors to neurotransmitters. And the thing that people fall into is that, if I increase the neurotransmitter, I'm going to feel great. And unfortunately, it doesn't work as simplistic as that. And when you increase the production of one neurotransmitter, you're going to lower the production of others, and then they're causing a disruption in the brain again there, which will disrupt your mood and your cognitive state. So I'm a big believer in kind of neuroreceptor activation or antagonism or agonism, and leave the neurotransmitter production alone generally. because people believe that there's a predisposition for imbalance of neurotransmitter. I'm not a big believer in that notion because, you know, the brain makes neurotransmitters really quickly. It's hormones that take a while to regulate again if you do cause hormone disruption, but neurotransmitters is, you know, a couple days to a week and you're back to normal. It's really quick. Mm. And if you have the right nutrients in place, you're eating right, got enough protein, or your vitamins and your cofactors there, there's no real reason why you should be low in a neurotransmitter, in my view. So when we start playing with that, that's where you can get a bit undone. But it's more about having those substances that facilitate a certain the structure of the neuron and the receptors and how they're activated. I think that's the best way to go.
Yeah, look, I respect that approach a lot because people do fall into the trap of like wanting to overload with the precursors. Even I went through that phase at one point where I was like, you know, like we just learned from our experiences then, like loading up on phenylalanine and how can I suppress serotonin as much as possible? How does that feel? And then you realize that there's trade-offs. So
definitely.
What about in terms of like, curious to know your stance on like B vitamins. Like what are your thoughts on like how do you use B vitamins?
Oh, so I take a B vitamin complex every day. I think it's vitally important for energy production, to neurotransmitter production, to you know, a number of functions in the body. We need it for nearly everything. So I'm a big believer in B vitamins. I take a complex. But I also take a bit of B12 and a bit more of B2 because I work on some of the some of the things I work with, longevity. They use up a lot of B vitamins for some of the processes that are being increasing the body. So I need to increase those B2 and B12 just for that purpose. But like I said, every day I'm a big believer in it, even if you're getting a healthy diet. Unfortunately, with how our agricultural system is these days, our soil has been churned up so much that we artificially spray nutrients into the ground, phosphorus, nitrogen and potassium, generally the ones that we spray in there, so the plant can grow. Now, with this, the plant needs 52 nutrients to grow properly. We're only giving it generally 3 to grow. And so our plants and produce is malnourished. So if we go and eat a healthy diet, what we think is a healthy diet, from the where we get our general produce, if it's not organic, then the food itself is going to be deficient. So, and then we eat that expecting ourselves to be healthy, but unfortunately it doesn't have the vitamins, the enzymes and everything that the plant would generally have. It's not there. So that's why I'm a big believer in that we need to supplement to some degree these days, and B vitamins is one important one with that.
Mm, yeah, awesome. Great summary there. Definitely, can definitely relate in that regard, and in particular for a lot of people that find that nootropics, they're not responding well to them. Maybe they have just an underlying, you know, B vitamin deficiency or a magnesium deficiency or something like that.
For sure. Like, so with the uridine stack, you need to take folate because you're going to be using folate in this process that you're creating. So there are those aspects that you need these B vitamins. And if you're increasing aspects of the body, like I said, you know, the uridine stack or certain longevity stacks, you're going to be using these B vitamins in these processes.
Mm. So let's sort of transition onto psychedelics, because I know it's sort of links in with nootropics, and I know a lot of nootropics can have, you know, ego distortion or some sort of like effects on the ego. Let's sort of transition into, you know, your experiences, either researching them or using psychedelics.
Okay, so I have quite a long history of using psychedelics. I've been using them. I had LSD for my first time probably when I was 20. I stopped during the period of, 23, to sorting myself, like, life out and getting back onto the track that I am. I didn't really use any substances then. I liked marijuana for the because I don't drink alcohol. So that was my relaxing tool to a degree. It helped me get through a lot of things. But when it comes down to psychedelics, I generally fell back into it when I just became interested in, obviously, the mind, the brain, consciousness. And I always had a fascination for all substances, not recreational, just not nootropic, but all substances and how they affect the body and the mind. So I started researching them and using them again to try to map out what psychedelics are doing. Obviously to learn about myself at the time. They're really good to reconnect with who you are, to understand who you truly are, and to understand reality a bit more and where you fit within reality. So, you know, I started to experiment with LSD, 2CB, DMT, and MDMA a bit too. I wasn't big into magic mushrooms until recently. I never had a good experience with magic mushrooms. It was either underwhelming or it actually scared the crap out of me. So it's only been recent since I've started working with that again. And the reason why I started working with magic mushrooms again is because of the science behind it. So we've all seen the new studies coming out, how terminal cancer patients get one dose, have a trip with a counsellor and say that it's the most profound experience of their life and they're not afraid of death afterwards. And even when they test them 12 months later, their cognitive benefits and view of life is still the same. So it's a really interesting thing. So when we look into magic mushrooms, it increases neurogenesis in the brain, they're saying. Most psychedelics will cause that to some degree because they're saying the activation of certain serotonin receptors causes the action of neurogenesis to increase. But, yeah, magic mushrooms is a really interesting one because I've been microdosing that. And what I found with microdosing, it increases what we call the mind-heart coherence or your emotional intelligence. So like nootropics will bring you all the way to your head. In my view and so other people's views, the mind is the ego, the heart is the true self, the compass. When we take too many nootropics, you're so cerebral that you suppress your emotional state and you become purely ego, and that's where you can come undone. With psychedelics, they increase the empathy and that mind-heart coherence so you can become more emotionally intelligent. And what I found, it actually increases the positive thoughts that you have and gives you a better... So the way I can describe it is that it just makes you think in a better way. On a microdose, it's so small that you're not getting any psychedelic effect, but it will give you... you know, when you have options, you'll go for the better option. When you go to even talk to someone, you'll use the right words. It's really quite a profound thing. Like, oh, I've never structured a sentence like that, but it really flowed well. And it's really interesting like that. You have more connection with people you're talking to. You look at them more in the eye, I've noticed. You enter flow states a lot easier. And there's just that more of a genuine connection with the people in the world around you. Then obviously when you go into higher doses of magic mushrooms, you're getting the more the psychedelic effect, and that's where you're going to get these profound out-of-world experiences that teach you a lot about yourself. So with magic mushrooms, I'm not a big person with using them in a social environment because you can get mixed up because other people, when you're under psychedelics are opening up your consciousness and also tampering with your conscious filters. So information can become distorted or you can pick up on things that you never saw before and it can play with you. So being around other people can distract you from the real purpose of the medicine. So magic mushrooms, I believe, are meant to be had by yourself, you or with people that you trust. And it's more of an inward journey. I find myself wanting to close my eyes and just drift and see what my mind brings up. And it's really interesting, some of the concepts or things that come up that actually you didn't see before, or you didn't see that you're doing, you weren't seeing that you were doing something wrong before, or how you do something better. It's really interesting how these substances allow access to these parts of yourself. So that's why I call it conscious technology. I believe that these are, it's like a program that you're slotting into your brain, allowing you to access this this realm for a period of time to connect dots that you couldn't connect before. I look at psychedelics like, you know, we work within a square. Our brain generally works within a square and we can't work outside of that. So psychedelics will take away the square and you're working within a circle now. You know, it's working without outside those general parameters. Mm. And then things like LSD realm for me is when we're sober, we build up what I call conscious cobwebs or condensed thought patterns. So say you have an issue in life, you're struggling with something or an addiction or you don't have an issue with a partner or a family member, I don't know, whatever it is, you know, even with your, when you're fighting with someone, you will sit there thinking about what you're going to say to them and build up a conversation in your head, and that's building up condensed thought patterns and energy that is associated with that. And that you find that when you talk to that person, that will all unravel and you've actually preempted the conversation, which can be a detriment sometimes. So what I find that LSD does is that it will, with some people, it depends on how you are at the time of your life. LSD, I won't bring this up all the time. Generally, most people have a really beautiful trip. They'll learn about themselves, about the world. But in a therapeutic sense, it will dislodge these condensed thought patterns or conscious cobwebs and bring them up to your in front of you. Mm-hmm. And this is where people can fall into a bad trip, or get kind of in a difficult situation because the trip will turn kind of dark. And when we get into these bad trips can be actually really good for us because it's the mind consciousness showing us something that is our shadow that we might be suppressing and not addressing. And then like LSD or any other psychedelic, they all tend to do this, but LSD is more psychological in that sense and will bring them up to the forefront. And what I found is you have to witness it, understand that this is the issue, and then verbalize it. So that's why it's good to have a therapist with you, because by witnessing and verbalizing, you're releasing it from your consciousness and actually releasing that energy through words. And then you'll find that as you talk through it, the bad trip will dissipate.
Wow.
And then everything will go back to normal. So it's about understanding why you've fallen into this dark trip or a bad trip, and then witnessing what is it within me that is not serving me, or what is it that's coming up. And you, like I said, if you have a good support base around you, friends or therapists, you talk through it, and it can be very therapeutic like that. And then when you wake up the next day and you feel like a new person, it's like this weight has come off your shoulders. Things like MDMA, we know about MDMA-assisted psychotherapy that's coming out. I've been going to a lot of the Mind Medicine Australia meetings, looking at all the research that's coming out with that. It's really interesting. MDMA is not a typical psychedelic. It is kind of a pathogen. It kind of sits within a psychedelic category. But it's really good in terms of breaking down the barriers that we all hold within ourselves when we view issues. So like PTSD, a lot of these people have constant repetition of these things that they've seen or these bad thoughts, and they can't work through them. They can't find the love or that feeling of love for themselves to accept and heal and forgive. And this is where MDMA comes in, to allow the person to relax and have love for themselves, and even the person that's harmed them, if they've had any PTSD from, you know, assault, things like that. They can see things from different perspectives because you're just full of love. And then when you couple that with some psychedelics as well, it can actually help the therapeutic effect of the psychedelic, because you're inhibiting any real bad trip coming forward, and you can actually confront things with a heart full of love in an altered conscious state with the psychedelic. So there is this coupling that you can have that I think would increase the efficiency, although the science hasn't really looked into that yet, but I know people have experimented with it before. I have too, and found good benefits. So yeah, it's something that we all need to look out for. Lastly would be dimethyltryptamine, so DMT. It's used in ayahuasca. In Australia here, we have it in crystal, but then we also have it in something called changa, which is when we cut. It's basically the smokable version of ayahuasca. You're getting an MAOI inhibitor, a herb that has that property in it, and you're infusing the DMT with the herb, and then you just smoke it from there. DMT is like the shotgun into another room. I think it's therapeutic for people because people lack spiritual experiences these days. We all can meditate and try to have a spiritual or an awareness with all these practices. But unfortunately, to gain access to higher realms of consciousness through these practices, it can take years, if not decades. If not, you won't even reach it your whole lifetime. And even Buddhists say you might not even reach a certain realm in this lifetime. You have to reincarnate and keep on practicing. So I'm a big believer that in this day and age, especially with how the world is right now, that we need connection to spirit or whatever it is you want to call it, higher power or higher self or higher forms of consciousness. With this, it's, and people lack this spiritual experience, and with this lack of spiritual experience, people think that this is the only existence there is, that I'm just some flesh, human, meatball, random thing that flowing through the universe. And this notion, I think, is quite detrimental to the way we look at ourselves and the way we go about life. And then we treat everyone just like, oh, I can do what I want in this life. It doesn't mean anything. And it can actually impact how society functions. But, you know, if we have things like DMT, ayahuasca, these experiences open you up to the notion that there is more than this reality that you're perceiving right now. Even the scientists that studied it, Rick Strassman, who did the experiments with DMT, initially they started doing experiments with DMT to see the physical effects of it. They weren't looking for the psychedelic effects because they wouldn't be able to get the trials approved if they're looking for what is this drug doing to our consciousness. So they wanted to see how does this drug affect our physiology. But in doing these experiments, he eventually had to shut it down because things became too spooky. People started getting these crazy experiences that a lot of them linked up. And there is a lot of linkage that you'll find with these experiences. So you come into contact with some entities or you might go to certain realms. And in these experiences, you gain an understanding that the funny thing is that you get, and us as humans, we think we know everything. When you go over this, when you have these experiences, like, I don't know anything, it really shows you how all your knowledge base is of the whole grand scheme of the universe and consciousness and how things function. And a lot of people think, oh, these substances, oh, they're just causing brain to go into some weird state and you just get aspects of archetypal forms in your brain, which is possibly, I think it's one part of it. But some of the things that you experience are so out there and so outside your conscious awareness or even information that you've picked up that you're like, hang on, something else is to this. And I think that's an important thing to bring back, and then you can incorporate that into your life, and it can actually help you ground you and give you knowledge of who you might be, what you're here to do in life. I know with these experiences, they've given me a lot of insight into what I'm really here to do. It's given me some just grounding in the sense of, there is no randomness to this. I can't explain it. It's something that everyone, I believe, has to experience. I think it's a really good thing in Amazon how they use it as an initiation process as well, to really awaken yourself in a sense. Mm. And with the positive effects of DMT as well, it's like a reset for the brain, especially when it's coupled with the MAOI. So in ayahuasca, the action of DMT with the MAOI is shown to increase neurogenesis again. Really good for drug addiction, helps people, you know, the experience itself will take you away from your drug addiction, because if you get an entity coming to you, showing you what's wrong with you, and the thing is you're viewing yourself and your life from outside perspectives, from, you know, from things that you couldn't even imagine, and then going, oh, I can see how this is affecting me, you know. So it's a really good, most psychedelics are really good with that in terms of addiction. But like I said, I view them like conscious technology. Like nootropics are for the hardware of the brain, so increasing, you know, neurogenesis, synaptogenesis, and the actual neuron itself. I believe psychedelics are the software. So you can come in and have an intention. I believe that these things shouldn't be used recreationally. Yes, they can be, but there always has to be an intention behind it. When you don't have an intention, you can get kind of lost in it and going, why don't I take this for? And so the intention is really a really important, powerful thing, as well as set and setting. But when we do it right, I believe that we can help reconstruct our software or format of reality to serve us and other people, to have more empathy and more compassion for people and the world in general. And I think they're substances that are going to be legalized, and they are in the process of being legalized, and that are going to be transformative to us as an individual, but society as a whole.
Awesome, man. Yeah, well, I want to know more about sort of if somebody wants to keep up to date with the research in this space. I think, is it MAPS? I think MAPS.
MAPS. Yeah. So MAPS is Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies. Mm. MAPS is the American collective of scientists that are studying psychedelics and trying to get them legalized for their therapeutic effects. In Australia, if people want to keep up with the science, it's Mind Medicine Australia.
Right.
They will be doing, there's supposed to be a conference later this year, but obviously with COVID, they've had to postpone that. And they're also doing some assisted psychedelic therapy training. So I'll be participating in that. And they will be also opening up I think it's a diploma for people in psychology and psychiatry to start using this in their therapies.
Wow.
So it's an interesting, I've applied as a naturopath that focuses on mental health, but they said they'll look into it in the future, because at the moment I don't have the qualifications of a psychologist or psychotherapist, even though I do have a long history of working with these substances. And also I help other people with them at events. My notion when I go to certain festivals or events is actually to help with this information, and also to be there to facilitate and help people whilst they're under the substance. I get labelled the doof doctor sometimes from some of my friends, and I go to these festivals with a suitcase half full of supplements, right? Wow. So if anyone needs to counter their effects or get rid of neurotoxicity or different things, I'll be there and I've got everything. But because I enjoy just being there for people and helping people learn about these substances, their body, and just everything in general. And I love just seeing the change in people that comes with these things, and when they just learn about themselves and gain that power, because knowledge is power. So yeah.
Awesome stuff, man. Yeah. Do you want to sort of maybe give, we're going to have to wrap it up. We'll have to organize another whole episode down the line.
Sure, I'd like that, yeah.
Because this was fun, and I know my audience are going to love the information you're providing and things like that. So do you want to sort of maybe give my listeners a chance to learn more about you? Where can they find more of your content? If they can work with you, where can they access all that?
Sure. So I got a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/alchemichealth. I post weekly or fortnightly articles just on things that interest me, and I think that will interest anyone else, from nootropics to longevity I will be going into psychedelics in the near future. I think that's something that will be at a later date. If people want to contact me on my website, it's www.alchemichealth.com, or you can email me at luke@alchemichealth.com. I'm open to consultations, so I do help people with consultations with naturopathy, but in that I do incorporate biohacking formulas. I focus on nootropics. I do prescribe nootropics lifestyle factors, dietary factors. I go through the, as a naturopath, as you know, we go through the whole system, holistic system. So I concentrate, I ask what the main thing people want to work on, but then I also correct everything within there as well too, because, you know, we can't bring around our healing process unless we address the body holistically. So yeah, I do consultations. I do them on Zoom and Skype. I also do them in person when these lockdowns are done. And from there on, I will be creating a YouTube channel soon with my experiences, my stories, and my knowledge in these fields that I believe I can help people with. So that's where things are going at the moment. That's where people can contact me.
Awesome, man. Yeah, well, I'll make sure to have those links in the description below. And also for those listening in, if they want to read more about nootropics as well, obviously I've got a lot on my website as well, a lot of articles. Got some cool nootropics there as well. Unfortunately, no access to psychedelics there.
No, not yet.
I don't sell any psychedelics, but yeah, might be publishing some information about that soon. But Luke, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Lucas. Appreciate it.
Awesome.
It's been enjoyable. Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you, everyone, for joining in to today's episode. For in-depth show notes and lessons learned, visit nofilter.media/boostyourbiology.
This has been a NoFilter Media production.
Say what you want.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.